not just talk about it, we are about it here at KBOO. It's a very essential part of who we are. We're about to have Black Book Talk on the air, and in the next 1 minute, we want to reach that goal, and we want to double that money with the $250 match right now.
So give us a call at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. This morning, a friend sent me a sign on a local business, which I thought was just perfect for KBOO. And I'm going to try to find it here for a second. Here it is. This was on a local business when she was taking a walk yesterday. "We welcome all races, all religions, all countries of origin, all sexual orientations, all genders. We stand with you. You are safe here." That was that storefront in Portland, but it's also KBOO as a community radio station. You're safe here. You're here. You'll hear viewpoints. You'll hear people like Greg Palast, Steve Rosenthal that you heard this morning that you won't hear any place else.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
And Chris Andre was saying this morning that we are a sanctuary radio right here. We're a sanctuary on the airwaves for all of the people who are pushed out, who are being pushed down and trying right now to be silenced, as you heard about Consortium News and this this watch list of alternative media that's being considered so-called fake news because it's actually telling the truth. And so when the iron fist comes out of the velvet glove, that's the time to stand together and to be a part of your community radio station. Whether you can come and volunteer, whether you can come down and see us and give a contribution, or whether you can call. Our address, by the way, is 20 Southeast 8th. And if you want to come down, we are right here. We'll show you around. You can see our humble operation where we stretch every dollar that we get.
Our palatial studios.
Yes. No Trump Towers.
No,
here.
It's not.
And again, that's 20 Southeast 8th. So come on down if you're out and about, and we'd be happy to see you. And if you don't have time for that, then just give us a call, 877-500-5266.
Bird flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, Manchester. And it's a new life for me. Just y'all make me feel.
Good morning, and welcome to the December edition of Black Book Talk. Hope you all are feeling as good as the lead singer of the Pussycat Dolls does. This is Patricia Welch, the library lady.
Opie Hill with Let's Read, Walk, and Talk, Mirror Image Books.
And Emma Jackson Ford, Bookwoman.
Okay.
And we're delighted to welcome to Black Book Talk Cynthia St. James, internationally recognized artist, writer, and illustrator of children's books, fashion designer, guest speaker, and if there's anything else you can let us know, but welcome to Black Book Talk.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Great. Now, the specific reason that we're talking to you today is because you were the original artist who designed the Kwanzaa postage stamp, and there's been a redesign, which you've been called back to do, and this new stamp was published in October and is now available, and it is the Kwanzaa stamp, and this is December, and we will be celebrating Kwanzaa. So we certainly want to talk to you about that and your role as an author, but also just your life as an artist. So first of all, tell us a little bit about the stamp and other pieces of your art that have been out in the world and that people might have seen but not recognized as your work.
Okay, well, let me just say a couple of things. Well, I know most people have seen the international cover art for Waiting to Exhale, Terry McMillan. But a lot of people don't know that I also did Ayanna Van Sant's Acts of Faith, which most people have in their homes as well.
Yep.
Did you know that?
I did not know that, even though I have both of those books.
Right.
I take that back. I think I forgot it, because your work is very distinctive, so I would have recognized.
There's so many. When I went back, I lost count at 75 book covers. But actually, my first book cover that was for used by Alice Walker, but it was more of a Book of the Month Club type thing, so therefore was not in stores. And it was later used again for a trilogy of her books. So she was actually the first, the second, Terry McMillan, and Ayanna Van Sant was the third. And then the list goes on. And I'm just so amazed at how things happen. But the first Kwanzaa stamp, I did some, once in a while, I do research on myself, mm-hmm. you know, so I didn't know what I did. And in that research for the... I found out, I actually created the painting for the first Kwanzaa stamp in 96. It was, first day of issue was in 97, October 22nd. That stamp was 32, 33, 34, and 37 before they retired it.
Okay.
And I did some math, and you would not, can you imagine that there were actually 318 million of those stamps printed and sold?
Well, no, that's a little hard.
318 million. And now everybody just know I only got my little flat fee. I'm not a millionaire. But if you do the math on that, I find it really amazing to see that. So it was very, you know, it was very interesting because 19 years later, to me to create my second Kwanzaa stamp. But it's the ideal time because it's the 50th anniversary of the holiday.
Yes.
And my whole emphasis that I wanted to create with this stamp, unlike the first that really showed everything about Kwanzaa, was abundance and fresh fruits, first fruits. And affirming actually spiritual and material abundance in our lives. So that's what it means to me.
And we have a panel of the latest stamp. Now, the first stamps had actual cost on them, and they changed. Now they have the forever stamps, and this is a forever stamp.
Yeah, this is a forever stamp.
Yes.
Yeah, but I would say for people that collect stamps, mm-hmm. Because it's changed so much since email and all that, my first stamp, they printed 133 million.
Uh-huh.
So far, they've only printed 15 million of these.
Oh, that's why I've been asking about this stamp for about the past 3 weeks.
Right.
So that's why it's out at my local post office. I don't know, OB and Emma, if you've had a chance to go and see it in the post office.
Yes, I did. There are 20 stamps on a sheet, and the collectors should run down to the post office and gather these up as soon as possible.
Where did you go? A local one, or did you go to the main post office?
To the main post office this morning.
Okay, and Cynthia, could you describe the image on this year's stamp?
Oh, yes. Basically, I created a beautiful black woman offering something similar to a Horn of Plenty, but it's fruits and vegetables and eggplants, all kind of stuff in there. And just I designed her simply in more the in-the-belly designs and a dress a little bit for the African heritage and celebrating Africa.
Okay. Our third member, Emra, is not in the studio with us. She's coming to us via the ether, via the telephone. We can't see her, but I want to make sure that she is, you know, that you know she's there and that she's engaged in the conversation. So, Emma, we usually just go around the circle, but we'll skip OB this time and say anything you want to ask or share at this point.
I was simply going to say I haven't been to the post office yet, but I know that I will be seeing lots and lots of the postage stamps on cards because this is the big time of the year that I see them now through January.
Okay. And you know what is simpler for many, just to go to the USPostalService.com, USPS.com, and get it there. Save some gas and trying to find a post office that's carrying them. Because one of my friends actually went to three before she got to a post office that had them. And then some have been selling out. So my only concern is I want as many people as possible to get them. I don't know how many they're going to print, but 15 million versus 133 million is a big drop.
They'll be
gone. Yeah. And the good thing about them is it's a forever stamp.
Yes.
Right.
But the wonderful thing is, in addition to your stamps, people can see your books. You've done a number of children's books. You've done a Kwanzaa book. And I happen to know that we have a number of books that are either written and illustrated or simply illustrated by you in the Multnomah County Library Collection. So, you know, in addition to having these wonderful many works of art, meaning the stamps in your home, because a lot of people will buy these and just keep them and frame them.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You can also come in and see her work, you know, in a much larger format in the library.
Right. And there's actually a total of 17 children's books. 13 were picture books, a couple of which I also wrote. I'm trying to think. Three I wrote and also created the paintings for. There was a Kwanzaa Lift a Flat book, too. And then there's also that's only been performed once at St. Augustine's University. I did co-write a Kwanzaa play. And there is a Kwanzaa song called Happy, Happy Kwanzaa.
Okay, books. Songs, plays.
Okay, so songwriter, playwright, and very small fractions, but yet still it still things that did happen. So there is a song, Happy Happy Kwanzaa, you know, that can be found as well. And then I have so many other books. I have so many books of poetry. I have two new books. Well, let's say three. I redid my cookbook that came out in the 90s. So it's a cookbook, multicultural cookbook, 75 recipes, called Creative Fixins from the Kitchen. And there's a book that on one of my heroes, Edmonia Lewis, a sculptor from 1865. I did a monologue of her speaking, talking about her life. That's a book, a short book. And then I did a compilation of some of my poetry and some recent poetry and a new book called Honeysuckle Kisses, Love's Refreshment. So there's all of these books. I have at least 27 books.
Let's get back to the Nguza Saba. There are seven principles. How did you select and do the stamp out of the seven principles? Which ones are you... put forward the most? And one other part of this question, how does one go about the politics of getting a stamp selected by the United States Postal Service? Because from a business standpoint, there needs to be more organization within our community so people can know.
Okay, well, let me go with your first question. The first Kwanzaa stamp had everything in it, all the elements of Kwanzaa, because that was very important. It was the first. This one is literally what Kwanzaa means, first fruits.
First Fruits of Harvest. So I dealt with that and a principle from that of abundance. It's not a Kwanzaa principle, but I think it's a principle we should have in our lives. So I didn't want to do the same thing.
That's
good. So I wanted to deal with something else and something positive, too, for us in this day and age. You know, and we all need a spiritual and material abundance to be happy.
Okay, the spiritual thing is one, but the business thing is another. How does one go about politicking with the United States Postal Service?
I didn't politic with them.
Somebody
did. They have committees
did.
That sit around and figure out what stamps needs to be put out. And that's a year 97. They did the first Hanukkah and Cinco de Mayo and Kwanzaa. And they actually contacted me from a book cover I had done for another author that had written a Kwanzaa book. And I had created a cover for her book. So in the research department, they found me.
All right.
So for the second one, they already knew me and my work and what happened before, so they came back to me.
Hey.
There was no contest and no submitting, nothing like that. They usually go to whoever they want for what they're doing.
Okay.
You're listening to Black Book Talk on KBOO.
Yeah, I'm very interested in the fact that you have made a living for a number of years as an artist. I don't know that many people, especially people of color, particularly African Americans, who, when you ask what they do, and they may say an artist, but I'm also teaching school on the side or whatever. But it seems that you have actually been able to make a living, you know, on your creativity, on your gift. Could you talk a little bit about that? And because
yeah,
I know most of our parents will tell us, you can't do that.
Yeah, well, let's say this. What's really important in an artist's life is being able to reinvent themselves and do other things. If I was sitting here, I wouldn't be making a living just on my commission paintings and art sales.
Okay.
I also, author books. I do other kinds of commercial art. Recently, I've done six commission paintings for historically black colleges since 2014, because I also work with colleges and universities, from anything from Dartmouth to St. Augustine's to a Bennett to whatever. I go out and I work. And I create those jobs for myself because I actually connect with the people at the universities, the presidents, our head of academic affairs or student affairs, and let them know I'm available. So the reason why I'm existing is what I'm doing and making a living is because I'm very proactive. I wrote a book which was nominated for an Image Award back in, 2012. Called Living My Dream, An Artistic Approach to Marketing. And in that book, I just shared all my mistakes and things I learned from them. And at the end of each short chapter, some marketing tips as well as affirmations for artists. Something in the morning that you can repeat or say or affirm something to feel good and get to that next day and figure out what you're going to do today.
Okay, so it's not enough to just be talented. It's not enough to just be
No,
because
no one's going to bang your door down.
Okay, and also I noticed I encourage people to go to Cynthia's website, and you can just put in Cynthia St. James, Google it, it'll take you to the website, because I noticed that you also do fashion, and I looked, you have some lovely things. How did that come about? How do you make these
connections? Well, because I learned about something very important, which is called licensing.
Mm.
Yeah, so basically licensing means that images of art you create, you make sure you have your copyright. The only copyright I don't have, of course, is a stamp, because that's the government.
Okay.
So you give that up, but what came from it as far as accolades and more work was astounding, so that made up for it. But I license my art for all different kinds of products.
Okay.
I work with a lot of nonprofit organizations creating at nonprofit pricing
paintings that can generate funds and fundraising by limited edition prints. Like you said, there is some fashion. There's some scarves and shirts and things that have happened over the years. And there's even with on one of my sites at pixels.com, there's even things like batteries for charging your cell phone to cell phone covers. And how about this? Shower curtains?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
No, I was looking for some shower curtains about 4 months ago. And really, there's a lot of yuck out there. You have to really search.
You have
to find
search.
Something
and the
good.
Thing is that you just have to find what things, and it's not like any one particular thing. Let's say like some of the licensed products, I haven't made a lot of money from them. Some of them are just there, and it might take off. That's more recent, but I did a couple of pieces for Barnes & Noble for Black History Month some years ago, and it was like Black History Month. They had tote bags and mugs and journals that had my art on it. So it's not, that's what I'm saying, it's like very proactive. My favorite word, which includes when I paint as well as me finding work, is called research. And I just keep really going for it that way. You know, so it's a 24-hour plus, 7-day-a-week job.
Okay, we're going to pause for a minute and say, Emma.
Yes, thank you. I can't see you, so...
We can't see you,
waiting.
So we have to kind of hold our breath.
Okay. So I have used old calendars with images you've painted to make bulletin boards at school because I always want to acquaint the students with different artists.
Right.
Especially African-American women.
Uh-huh.
Their question is always, why don't they have faces? Can you help me answer that question?
Oh, I'll easily. I'm a self-taught artist, so I'm celebrating actually now. I sold my first painting when I was 20. I'm 67, getting ready to be 68 in a couple months. And I actually went through a progression of things. Back in the late 70s, people that knew my art then, it was wild and domestic animals, realistic, where their eyes followed you wherever you went. You know, if you were in a room full of my paintings, you know, all these animals would be looking at you. I did a lot of paintings for people of their children as toddlers and whatever, realistically, eyes, all the features. In 85, I visited, so I learned how to do it, and I felt very good at what I was doing. Then I went to an island in the Caribbean, Martinique, and fell in love with crowd scenes and market scenes and all that, and I challenged myself to paint people without features, and you still felt them. You felt their country, where their culture, if they're angry, sad, happy, whatever. And that was my challenge to myself, and that's become my signature style. What I tell adults and children, first of all, it's not faceless. There are faces. It's featureless. They're featureless. And then I also love telling children to imagine and put themselves in my books and their friends and their family. So then it gives them something. And I've seen women do it as well with the cover of Ensemble way back. Well, that was Wait Until Exhale. The painting is called Ensemble. They actually would, some of them, write their different friend's name on the four of them, who that was. You know, so it's all about the imagination. Does that answer that?
Oh, yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah.
And so
they study, like, my style. They're kind of like studying my style of art. Mm-hmm. And just like they would, in some schools, they have put me with other artists like Matisse and whatever and said, now we're going to study St. James, which I find thrilling to see little kids paint and draw and do that sort of thing. Yeah. And it's wonderful for an artist to have a unique style that someone recognizes.
Exactly.
To get that far in their career. And then it's very important, too, for people to understand where that comes from, I believe.
A few years ago, our art teacher did that. They painted in your style.
Oh, great. Great. I love it. Sometimes I get the pictures and stuff in the mail. You know, and it's always so much fun, and oftentimes I've written back to the classes, and, you know, I like to do that. Because even with the colleges and universities, we take time out
and I usually visit an elementary school or something, or sometimes a high school, and do work with some of the children.
You know, we've just got a notification. We are in a pledge period that this is pitch time. But before we go into pitch, I do want to mention that you are a very smart businesswoman, but you are also a very generous person. And for those who are listening, because I said to her, we're not really doing premiums this time, but Cynthia insisted, saying that for anyone who makes a donation of $60 or above to this program, that she has, she will give them one of three signed editions of her work.
Yes, limited edition. The value of the pieces will be anywhere from $150 to $250.
Okay, so
if it's the first three people that come up with $60.
Yes. So, I mean, one, thank you that, you know, I kept saying, well, no, you really don't have to. And she's like, no, I want to.
Do this.
See? So I love that. Now, I think we're going to have to stop for a moment. And actually, we are at the end of our half hour. So I'm just going to say, first of all, Cynthia, thank you for joining us. But also, I want people to understand, you know, what this really means, who we're talking to. Her works are in the collections of the late Johnny Cochran, Alice Walker, Glenn Turman, Brenda Russell, Regina Taylor, Charles Fuller, Jennifer Lewis. You know, there are awards created by her. There was a Lifetime Achievement Award especially created for His Excellency Nelson Mandela. So we are truly looking, when you get that stamp, you're looking at the work of an international artist, and we thank you so much for being with us.
I thank you so much. So far I've gotten to Portland a little bit. I got my toe in. So now we got to figure out sometime in the future, we can maybe find a local college or something and get there and actually get a chance to visit.
We will welcome you.
Oh, okay. That sounds wonderful.
Thank you so much for this privilege.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a great day.
Okay.
You too.
Bye-bye.
So you heard the artist Cynthia St. James. In the next 4 minutes, the first three people who call and give $60 pledge, that's $5 a month, get a limited edition piece of artwork from this amazing, incredible artist. Get in on this offer and double your money, because we have an anonymous donor that is doubling all donations called in during Black Book Talk. Call right now and support your community radio station. Get this amazing thank you gift that's only available right now and be a part of this community effort. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to get in on that offer. Do it now. This is the last day of our holiday drive in which we are trying to raise $25,000 for KBOO Community Radio, your community radio station here in the Portland area and around the world on KBOO.FM.
Jenkin mentioned that matching fund from Anonymous, and that fund will match any of your gifts, whether you're a new member or a renewing member, or you just want to give some extra money to KBOO during this holiday, 3-day holiday membership drive. But we also have a way of tripling your gift, and we probably only have about 5 minutes left to do it. It's the Anonymous Matching Fund plus a very generous matching from fund through the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems. If you are a new member, in other words, you've been listening to KBOO, you want to give, now's the perfect time. Say it's $10 a month, that becomes $30 a month to KBOO, $10 a month, $120 a year. KBOO gets $360 a year. Jenk, it's a great opportunity. All they have to do is call 877-500-5266.
And you hear the phone ringing there. We've got two lines open, and if that person picks up the limited edition artwork by Cynthia St. James, and you heard Cynthia St. James talking about it, this is a valuable piece of artwork worth far more than the donation that you're giving to KBOO. So it's a deal for you, and it's a deal for your community, because you give and we give back to you. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. You heard Cynthia St. James. She's the designer of the new Kwanzaa stamp that you find in your local post office. It created the original Kwanzaa stamp in 1997, and it is really a stamp of abundance. You see a woman holding a basket of fruit. She also is the original cover artist for Terry McMillan's novel Waiting to Exhale. An incredible artist, beautiful work, and the number to call to pick up this amazing gift that she is giving right now, 877-500-5266. All you need to do is pledge $5 a month or more, and your money will be doubled, and you will get this beautiful limited edition artwork. 877-500-KABU.
And actually, Cenk and I are looking at it right now on the KBOO.FM website, the Kwanzaa stamp. So Cynthia St. James, a wonderful artist and very generous of her. It was something that was totally unexpected, but it came up during her interview on Black Book Talk. So she's offering three copies of her work, all signed, worth a lot more than the $60 per month.
And, you know, everyone involved in KABU gives what they can, whether that's time or whether that's money. We have volunteers. Everyone you hear on the air is a volunteer. And these volunteers and this building and this equipment is supported by over 5,000 members. And the members give $60 a year or $100 a year. All of that adds up to this station's annual budget. This is very transparent operation, very democratic operation. And this is how community radio works. It's a very different model from commercial radio, and we urge you to support this model, this democratic, community-funded model of media. This is how we remain independent. We urge you to call. You know, there's something here that speaks to you. You listen to the radio. We want you to continue to speak to you. We want this space on the airwaves for diverse voices, for local artists, for unsigned musicians to get their work out on the air. Give a call right now and maintain KABU Community Radio. Get your money doubled and tripled, in fact, if you call right now. 877-500-5266 is the number to call.
Yes, and in fact, you only have a few minutes left for that tripling offer. If you are a new member, $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month. There's all sorts of premiums. For $20 a month, you can get that wonderful, warm KABU hoodie. You can show your pride for KABU Community Radio by walking around Portland with this wonderful